The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, December 8th, and this is your Monday Night Football doubleheader recap. Reminder that you can watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. Go hit the subscribe button. You can see a relieved Ryan Wilson joining me, and of course, John Breach here as well. Wilson has been concerned that the Steelers were going to run the table. And thankfully, the Washington football team knocked them off. We will get to that. We will talk about the Bills throttling the San Francisco 49ers and all the Monday Night Football goodness. What's up, guys?
Yo, yo, yo.
I think I'm hitting a wall.
Wilson, did you cry today?
No, I'll tell you, he's relieved.
I'm fine, Breach. Here's the thing, and sure? I tell you this every time.
People who say they're fine usually aren't fine.
I say this every time the Steelers lose, which is once a year. I mean, if I were a Bengals fan, I would be crying. But you're one of the nicest people I know, but you are so passive-aggressive angry when the Steelers aren't playing well, and you can't wait to rub it in. But I'm happy, and that probably makes you even angrier.
You definitely have, like, a big brother syndrome with the Steelers. Breach. Like you hate the Steelers. You don't hate – you have to be like
– Oh, he hates them.
You have to be like, I respect the Steelers, but it's like you have to you hate the Steelers. And it's like, but you can't hate them in a rivalry. You can't hate the Steelers like a Ravens fan can hate the Steelers, where it's like, all right, let's go, rivalry time. You're like, all right, I'm just going to walk back into this room and get punched in the face again, and hopefully it won't end up with me dying finally.
My lasting memory of Breach, and it actually makes me feel sad to think about it, is when he was dating his wife, and they were we in Texas for that Jackson State game?
The Jacksonville State against Carson Wentz, the national title game.
Is this the playoff game?
It's the playoff game when Pac-Man Jones lost his mind. Joey Porter lost his mind. Vontaze Burfict ran through the tunnel and came back, and Breach got 40.
Jeremy Hill fumbled it, and the Bengals had the game iced.
And they lost that playoff game, and Breach is in that hotel room by himself, presumably half in the bag, tear coming down his eye.
Presumably 3/4 to 5/8 in the bag.
That's why Breach is very angry about the Steelers, and I get that. But don't take it out on me, John. That's all I'm asking.
All right, so let's get to that game first. That's a bigger game, I think. The first game that happened, the Steelers, no longer the only undefeated NFL team. Larry Zonka took to Twitter, because this is 2020, and tweeted, like drinking champagne, we got you, suckers. They weren't running the table. If you thought the Steelers team was running the table, not just the regular season, but also to the Super Bowl, then you haven't watched this Steelers team. And I'm not trying to get Steelers fans mad at me, but as the only person, I believe, on the planet who picked the Washington football, no, actually Greg Rosenthal did it too, so I'll give him credit. One of the few people who picked the Washington football team to beat the Steelers on Monday night. And the guy who's holding the Washington to win the division bet on this podcast.
Yeah.
I think that what we saw from Pittsburgh was sort of what we've seen from Pittsburgh. They just live on a tight wire act, and they've won a bunch of these close games. You're just not going to win them all like that. But I do believe that because of that's how Pittsburgh is built, that this is probably a good loss for the Steelers. And I know that that's a stupid thing to say, but these losses aren't good. No, you don't know. We should ever want to lose, but there was only one game that Pittsburgh could lose.
The Jets.
That's true. Those are actually good losses. There was only one game that Pittsburgh could lose of the remaining games coming up that would not sacrifice their tiebreaker over the Kansas City Chiefs, and that was Monday night against Washington. As a result, if they finished 15-1, if both those teams finished 15-1, Pittsburgh would hold the tiebreaker for the number one seed. That's a huge deal. Now, I personally think that, and we'll get to this in a second, but I think there's a chance that Pittsburgh could lose one or two more games.
Yeah.
And that maybe they're going to even be a sleeper team in the AFC North.
You're stealing Breach's thunder. I know that Breach's has been thinking about this for weeks.
All right, but let's get to the game itself. What is your biggest concern moving forward for the Steelers, Ryan? Is it the fact that all of the receivers had their hands chopped off last week, or is it that the defense is starting to show some cracks, especially in sort of the middle areas? Minka Fitzpatrick left in this game. Did he come back?
He came right back.
But I mean, like, Alex Smith kind of was, you know, tossing the ball, tossing the pillow around on him.
First of all, Alex Smith is such a great story, and I was actually happy for him. And even when he took a beating in that game, I was happy that he got up every time. Blood running down his foot was just how tough he is. The other foot. So those are all good things, and they played really well. The football team did. Their front four and defense is amazing, and they only rushed four, I think, every play but one. And they were, Big Ben didn't get sacked, but they gave him some trouble. The drops are infuriating, and just, you can't explain it for professional athletes whose job it is to catch a football, who can't catch football suddenly. It's annoying. It happened a lot this week at 7 drops. I think you mentioned in a tweet that we saw. I feel like they had 7 drops last week against the Ravens. Deontay Johnson and Eric Ebron should be running laps. And those drops are going to cause interceptions at some point. My bigger concern is the defense. They lost Devin Bush earlier in the year. They replaced him with Robert Spillane. He left with a knee injury. I don't think he returned. Avery Williamson, who they traded for from the Jets, did not look good. He's only been there a few weeks. But look, man, he's all they got. So he's got to figure out a way to step up. Joe Hayden left with a concussion. Bud Dupree's done for the year. And so things are starting to get thin. TJ Watt had a big game. Stepped to it, had a big game. Cam Hayward played well. But there's a reason that McKissick had – how many – he had a catch. He had a ton of catches. He had 10 catches for 70 yards. He was wide-ass open on as soon as Joe Hayden went out. He was wide open for the rest of the game. Logan Thomas was wide open because Avery Williamson didn't know who to cover when they had a little switch release there and that touchdown catch. And those things don't happen if you have at least 70% of your defense healthy. So, look, there's no complaining about it. Guys are hurt on every team. So you just got to figure it out. But if they didn't have those drops, they would have won the game. But, you had 7 freaking drops. I don't know what you do. I'll tell you this much. I give Ben Roethlisberger a lot of credit for not throwing his helmet at every single dumbass that dropped passes on it. Cause he's like had to look on his face like,
well, he did find Jesus. So I think he's fine.
Yeah. But even Jesus got angry when he went crazy in the temple.
Did Jesus get mad?
In the temple, man. What's the matter?
I don't know why I did that.
Can you imagine Jesus playing the dunk music?
Dunking with Bible knowledge? That's a pick 6 first. My goodness.
No, in all seriousness, like, I thought that Ben acquitted himself. I mean, like, it wouldn't have been crazy if he just lost his mind. I mean, like, what are you guys doing? What are we doing?
I mean, Tom Brady goes to the bench and yells at people for being incompetent.
Dude,
and
if Tom Brady had Deontay Johnson on his team, he's not getting targeted for the rest of the year.
I was screaming, take Deontay Johnson out of the game.
Wouldn't show up for practice anymore because he'd be too intimidated to be in the same room as Tom Brady. I mean,
or with Aaron Rodgers, either one of them. I mean, like, and Ben sort of just, you can tell he's like coaching. Well, I don't know. I was kind of impressed by it. I thought he played really well.
Yeah, I had, so my favorite tweet of the year was Big Ben looking like Brenton.
Stretched my face out for that.
I had to. It wouldn't fit over Big Ben's face. But
that's the important thing is I'm not as fat as Big Ben.
No, of course not. He's 6'4". You're 5'9"? Are you 5'9"?
Being 6'4" doesn't make you fat.
It does when you're 6'4", wide and tall.
Okay.
I mean, he's basically a big circle. So it makes
he's like Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah,
like,
it makes your head a little wider. So I had to stretch your face out. Don't worry. It's not about you. You're handsome.
It's literally about me.
Yeah, it is.
Ryan.
The tweet was about me. Anyway,
you guys, I was going to ask Ryan real quick. Were you concerned at all that the Steelers couldn't run the ball? They only had 21 yards, second lowest rushing total of the Mike Tomlin era. And not only that, I feel like because they couldn't run the ball, they really struggled in those short yardage situations. They were 1 for 5 on 3rd or 4th and 1. You can't get 1 yard. You only convert 20% of the time when you need 1 yard. That is atrocious. And one of those was that 4th and 1 at the end of the game when they were at, I think, Washington's 28-yard line, I want to say. They had a 4th and 1 from the 28. And, like, You want to pass up a field goal. I get it. You got this young kicker because Chris Boswell's out. You don't want to try that 45-yarder. But throwing a wheel route to Anthony McFarland, I don't know that that's the answer when you just need 1 yard to keep the drive going. So I thought there were some interesting play calls along with the fact that there was zero ground game. I do know James Conner's out, but I don't know that he's going to fix that.
Pittsburgh's rushing attack is terrible. They have, of their last six games, five of them have been under 75 yards and four of them have been under 50 yards total in terms of rushing yards. And
my remember, talking point.
Well, I'm saying like this team hasn't lost. Like if you're undefeated, you should probably be racking up rushing yards because you are leading in like late in games.
They're rarely leading late in games. And my talking point for the last 7 weeks or however long it's been since they haven't really run the ball well is that all those short passes are long handoffs. But of all the games to be concerned about the running game, it wasn't this one because that front four is so good.
I agree with that.
Those guys are dominating. And I give the offensive line a lot of credit in terms of pass protection for doing their best to keep the front four off of Big Ben, but they ain't running on that team. Not without James Conner with Benny Snell and that Anthony McFarland play. McFarland was wide open, but he's 4'2". And I don't know if you want, that's the play you want to call 4th-and-1.
Well, I almost wonder if they were like, we can't throw to these wideouts anymore. Like they're dropping the ball too much.
I don't know why they didn't take Eric Ebron out of the game. You had Vance Johnson there. He can catch. I mean, back in the day, he was going to stiff arm Chris Conte into oblivion.
Do you think that there's any, so it feels like a lot of the Steelers plays, and I'd have to look at Big Ben's next gen stat chart, but it does feel like, a lot of the plays are over the middle. Is there any chance that these guys are sort of tired of getting just popped?
No. I mean, Deontay Johnson, he very well may be, but that's where Juju Smith makes his living. Eric Ebron's tight end. They run a lot of flat routes to those guys too to get the ball out to them quickly. They're just dropping the ball.
It was also really cold. I mean, and that's not an excuse.
They play in Pittsburgh. It was 34 degrees. It's not 12 degrees out there.
I'm not trying to say that like it being cold.
Deontay Johnson went to Toledo. I mean, he knows how to.
Toledo, damn it! I mean, look at Big Ben's passing chart. He's lefty all the way this today.
When he threw right, Montez Sweat blocked everything, and he had the tip that ended up with the interception to John Bostic, former Steeler, which was a huge slap in the face. The man who also murdered Andy Dalton a few weeks ago. So you should be angry about that too, Breach.
Okay, let's talk about Washington really quickly. Well, not really quickly. Let's expand on Washington.
You're back in it, baby.
I wasn't worried.
I guess not.
I wasn't ever sweating it. The only people who are sweating it are Debo, who bailed on this podcast. He's not even here tonight because he's scared. He's sad. He's an Eagles fan. And Breach, who we have a recording.
There's zero sweat. Zero. Do you see any sweat beads, people?
Yeah, you don't have to sweat anything. You already lost. You're out of it.
I'm not sweating anything.
You're living a life as a Bengals fan. There's no sweat. You don't have to sweat winning anything because
Cowboys could beat the Ravens Tuesday night. All of a sudden, they're a game out. Let's talk about Washington and the fact that they were down 14-0 without Antonio Gibson. And at that point, I don't think there was anyone alive who thought they were going to win this game.
I knew the game wasn't over. I'll tell you that.
It was their best player. They're down 14-0. They've done absolutely nothing on offense game.
He's not their best player. But he's
Terry McLaurin's their best player, who they actually shut down.
Chase Young is better too, but that's
fine. Huge game for Logan Thomas. Huge game for what's Sims' first name? The tall Sims.
By the way, with Logan Thomas, I keep forgetting that he's like the old Virginia Tech quarterback.
He is huge. He looks like Cam Newton if Cam Newton lifted weights every day.
Remember, Bruce Arians like demanded that the Cardinals draft him and was like adamant about playing him, and eventually they cut him.
I'm starting to think Bruce Arians doesn't know anything about quarterbacks.
It's possible. Just coaches some really good ones.
By the way, we're going to talk about the football team. I almost said it. That doesn't count. Well, I love the fourth down play with Logan Thomas under center.
My guy Scott Turner. That's a great play call. That's 100% on Dontrell Inman.
Right.
100%. And the 49ers had something similar on their first drive of the second half. We'll get to that. But Brandon Ayuk just did like wide receivers not blocking on critical plays lead to losses, and all of a sudden it flips the game. Both these teams started out punt, punt, punt. It looked like it was going way under. Then the Washington football team had a turnover on downs when Ron Rivera went for it on his own 34.
That was a Logan Thomas play.
That was a Logan. No. Was that Logan Thomas play?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. It was on his own 34. They do that. But then Cause they lost 3 yards on it. That's right. But then the Steelers get down to the Washington one and can't punch it in. So it's still 7-0. We get a Steelers touchdown shortly thereafter. The Washington football team puts together a field goal drive before halftime.
And let's talk about that field goal drive. Were you paying attention to how that unfolded?
Probably.
With the administrative timeout when
Alex Smith was crazy. Yeah, you're right.
Ran off the field with the ball. Alex Smith gets sacked, runs off the field with the ball. John Hussey, the referee, has no idea what to do because there's no ball anywhere around. So he just calls timeout. So Breach, let me ask you as the special teams expert.
I don't know if that's, is that the delay of game? Is that on the refs?
Well, he said the K ball wasn't anywhere near to be found. Breach, if you have one job and you're the K ball specialist, you should know anytime it's late in the game, stand next to the guy who needs the K ball.
Well, this is some Belichickian level nonsense going on here. Where you take advantage of the rule book, it completely works in your favor because, like, I think Brinson, you just said it should be, or it could be delay a game.
And I'm not saying it should have been. I just
right. But people may have thought that watching this on TV, which only went to half the country, so not everyone was watching it. But you know, Alex Smith. In any other situation, you run off the field with the ball and you don't let the ref set it. That is a delay game. That's a 5-yard penalty. But if your team's about to kick the ball, there are K balls, which only been around for like 20 years. Back in the day, there were no K balls. Everybody kicked the same football. And so they have to get a K ball out on the field, and that's on the officials to get the ball out there. And so obviously that is why John Hussey stopped the clock, because they couldn't get the ball out there fast enough. And they knew Washington was in a hurry, and you can't penalize Washington. And again, Washington would have been lucky to get the field goal off. It would have been tight. It would have happened at like the 1 second mark if it happened.
If nothing else, the kicker would have been rushed.
Right. Exactly. He absolutely would have been rushed, Dustin Hopkins. So this was just, and I don't know if Alex Smith did on purpose. I didn't see if he was asked about it after the game.
100%. How many times do you see someone get sacked on third down and sprint off the field with a football?
But it was amazing. He was smiling. He was smiling. So I assume he did do it on purpose.
It was awesome.
Well, but I mean, just to be clear, because, they had, who was calling? Did they have somebody pop in and they had Dean Blandino. Dino popped in. He's like, you know, you just at some point just need to kick the football that's out there. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That's not, no, what? Is yeah, that course. How that works?
Breach, you can kick a normal football, right?
Well, in this situation, you can. That's what Blandino was saying. But also, you can't penalize Alex Smith for taking the ball because you're supposed to use a K ball. So the refs didn't do anything wrong. They probably looked for the original ball. They probably didn't see Alex Smith take it away.
All right. So let me just to get this straight. So you are, I mean, like we've been covering the NFL for 25 years. I think we know this, but this is some micro, but you know what? The NFL refs didn't know it either. So let me get this straight. If you on a third down and you're going to go kick, you can run off with the football. And then it is someone else, but it is a third party responsibility to have the K ball ready. It's not
well. What third down situation is there? Like 10 seconds left in the half, or there's right. like 4 minutes, clear, and you just randomly decide and kick a field goal.
You've got your field goal. I'm saying like this situation. Alex Smith runs off without the football. It's not a penalty, is what you're saying.
Right. It is not a penalty because the ball is not being used on the next play. It'd be like if they fail on a fourth down, because Washington, each team has their own footballs. So if that had been fourth down, say Washington lost possession, Alex Smith could take the ball to the sideline and like give it to their ball guy.
All right. So, but is the K ball, whoever is in charge of providing the K ball, is that an,
where were they?
That's the K balls are brand new footballs.
Correct.
That one official is in charge of.
So the problem is that one official had his head up his butt and wasn't paying attention. Is that right?
Fine, he probably assumed that they were going to use the ball Alex Smith had because of the timing issues that Dean Blandino was talking about. So it was like, it was the perfect confluence of events for this to happen. We will probably never see this again. And it got Washington a huge field goal.
I feel like we're going to see it all the time now.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've had situations where a team has had to get a field goal team out there late with seconds to go, and this has never been an issue. So hats off to Alex Smith for knowingly or otherwise sprinting off the field with the ball and hiding with it on the bench. And I want to know where the K-ball guy was and what he was doing for the last 8 seconds, because he was asleep at the wheel. He was Homer Simpson at the nuclear plant.
Okay, so because what happens is Alex, if you watch a replay, Alex Smith has the ball. And he's starting to be like, all right, I'm going to give it back. And he's like, wait a minute. If I give it back, we're not – you think he realizes we're not getting this kickoff, right? Because there's 8 seconds left.
Kickoff? What do you mean?
We're not going to get the field goal.
Oh, getting the
not going to have time to kick the field goal, right?
Right. Yeah, so right. He just runs off, and then the official comes out, and he's like looking for the, you can see him. He's looking for the ball. He's like, where the hell is the ball? And they're forced to stop it because of that.
Why isn't the K-ball guy going, holding the ball up like the ball boys do after every single play?
Well, usually there's somebody like winging a ball out there.
Right.
I guess they just messed up and thought it was. Well, to be fair, this was a previously unscheduled 5 p.m. Monday night football game. So maybe things were a little unusual.
Still football. I mean, it doesn't matter. You could play it at 2 in the morning. The rules don't change.
I don't know. I'm just saying that, like, it was just the timing of everything was weird. Now, also, this is in Pittsburgh. Is it possible the Steelers were attempting
I think Breach said you're responsible for your own balls. All of us are.
You have to get them approved. Each team gives them to the officiating crew. But
So this wasn't like
the Steelers use balls that have a Steelers
stamp on it or whatever.
Right. They can do that. They can't, you know, bring like old footballs out to play with because Ben Roethlisberger wants to use a flat ball. Hand those over to the officiating crew, and then they do all that. They measure the PSI before the games, and then they put them in a bag, and then there's like a ball coordinator that's in charge of that.
The ball coordinator somewhere along the mediator's line, the mediator being the official, someone messed up.
Yes.
Right. What's crazy is that it's 2020. They've been kicking field goals for a while now.
We've never seen this though.
And it's never happened like this. Alex ever, is ever. On Scott Van Pelt's show. We should turn it on and find out. I'm sure he gives an answer, but,
it's hilarious.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's just crazy. Like, how has this never been a thing before?
Well, the funny thing is they stopped the clock and while they were like confused and they started the clock, got to zero. Ron Rivera was going crazy. He's like, wait, what's going on? And then John Hussey, the referee, wound the clock back to 8 and said administrative. Like, I've never heard anyone say there was an administrative issue. Like, you know, we lost the paperwork. The secretary wasn't there to take the phone call. So we got to start the clock back.
Checks in the mail, bro.
For real. So anyway, by the way, what's the kicker's name?
Dustin Hopkins.
He had he was nailing field goals. He might have been the first guy to make it open-ended from 57 yards. They let him do it. He had a huge game too.
Yeah, two clutch 45-yarders in the final 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
And the halftime
also, the halftime one was a 49-yarder. And that was the thing. That wasn't even a given. The fact that he made that was huge. And obviously, this game
– smoked it.
Only 6 points because, you know, if the Steelers had gotten the ball back with 15 seconds only needing a field goal, you conceivably have a little bit better chance. But, you know.
Yeah. So, quasi-hot take here, but maybe not even a hot take. I'm going to be picking either the Giants or the Washington football team to win a playoff game when they host – whoever the 5 seed is, because these
the history, right? The two teams with losing records and win the division have won home playoff games.
That's right. Well, but you know the circumstances, right? The Panthers beat Ryan Lindsay or Ryan Lindley.
But the other was Ryan Beastquake.
Lindsay. Sorry, Ryan Lindley. What?
The other one was Beastquake. Yeah. The Saints wasn't like a rollover game.
No, I know
that was the
saying.
Saints team that just won the Super Bowl in 2009.
Yeah. Yeah, it's happened twice. I do know the history, but I'm saying.
Well, I think the takeaway for the football team at least is that defense is good, and Alex Smith doesn't make mistakes. So you can win football games doing that. You just need someone to show up offensively outside of Scary Terry, and that happened today, even with Antonio Gibson out.
Okay, so Alex Smith did just come on Scott Van Pelt before we get to the rest of the 4 and 5 seeds. He didn't know! He was just trying to get the regular ball off so they could get the K-ball on. He said, I'm glad it worked out that way. And that's what he's claiming. You can't see his face. He's got a mask on as he's doing the interview with SVP.
But that's still even smart that he didn't know the rules, but he knew enough to get the football off.
So, exactly. So, like, let's not give him credit for, like, Belichicking.
I would love to know how often Alex Smith is running off the field with the football.
Right.
I mean, you usually notice something like that. The quarterback's walking off the field with the football, and you don't see that happen very often. I didn't see Alex Smith do it at any other point in the game, and I looked for it in the second half after he did it at the end of the first half.
Well, do you remember that Brian Hoyer sack for the Patriots against Kansas City earlier this season at the end of the half? When Belichick's trying to get a field goal and Hoyer takes a sack and Belichick looks like he wants to strangle Brian Hoyer and throw him into a river.
Yeah,
it's the opposite of that. In other words, Alex Smith is such a veteran. He knows, he's like, all right, let's facilitate this process as much as possible. Cause if they try to spot the wrong ball or they're messing with the regular ball, it might mess up Dustin Hopkins.
If Belichick knew that role, he'd been talking to Hoyer Summit, like, bro, get off the field right now, man. Bring the football with you.
Yeah.
And then the refs won't be able to find the K ball and we'll get a free field goal out of this.
I think it's just Alex Smith being a veteran who does the smart thing. And he took the ball off. At least that's what he says. So, by all accounts, Alex Smith, not aware. Anyway, to the point about the Washington football team and the Giants that I believe we're making. I mean, I don't know that either of these teams have deep playoff run upsides, but because of what they do defensively and because they have these enough upside offensively, I really feel like one of those teams can absolutely upset a sloppy game from, cause who are we talking about here? We're talking about maybe the Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks are ripe to be beaten by Washington or the Giants as they were this past weekend. We could be talking about Tampa Bay, which is interesting.
We already saw the Giants almost beat them once this season.
And, I am not a huge Tampa Bay fan.
And Washington with that front four against Tom Brady, that is a recipe for Tom Brady getting beat. Washington doesn't need to run. And I think we need to give the Washington football team credit too, because in this game, I believe their game plan was to come in and to feed Antonio Gibson. And they didn't do that because Antonio Gibson got hurt basically on the second play. And he had 14 rushing yards on two carries. One really nice 13-yard carry. Minnesota, if they somehow get to the 5 seed.
Yeah, come on.
Washington will smother Minnesota.
I mean, you could put any team on here except maybe the Taysom Hills, but like Jared Goff does not do well with pressure. They'll stop the run. And then if the play action isn't working, there you go.
Yeah. I don't think that they'll end up playing. I think there's a pretty good chance that New Orleans and Green Bay are the 1 and 2 seeds, right? That seems likely. Not guaranteed by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think it's crazy that the Washington football team or the Giants could beat the Rams, the Seahawks, the Bucks.
Well, so you're saying you think they could beat literally any team in the NFC except for the Saints and Packers?
Yes, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, and I don't think it's outrageous to say that Cowboys fans were saying this earlier this year. They're like, well, we just got to get the dance and then we got a chance. And look, there was some optimism around that team this year.
The Cowboys
and
it's true, will be 3-3 after they win tonight, and they have a path to 9 wins. It's not a difficult path.
You know it, baby. Outside of the Saints and Packers, though, every team feels like they're pretty closely packed in the NFC. AFC feels a little different.
I just feel like the Giants maybe a little bit less than Washington. And I don't think Washington's this amazing football team. But
if you have a defense, you can be in it.
If you have a front four that can get after somebody and you have a quarterback who can manage the game and not make mistakes, you have enough weapons, you can do some damage. I think that the NFC East, we're not going to owe them an apology.
No, let's don't go too far.
Don't get crazy, Brinson.
6 wins is going to win it.
Oh, I don't think so. They're 5 now.
Okay. We'll see. I mean, these teams haven't suddenly gotten turned into Super Bowl beaters. I mean,
Washington's got the 49ers, Seahawks, Panthers, and Eagles.
Okay.
Sure. Wait, one undefeated there?
That team might go 8-8. That team might be 9-7.
Oh, God. Here we go.
The 49ers, Seahawks, Panthers, and Eagles. How many of those games does Washington win?
Two.
Yeah.
Two. I think two's, I mean, if they won one, it would be a major disappointment at this
point. But we're putting too much on the fact that they beat a Steelers team that didn't have any defensive players and the receivers dropped 78 balls. They played great in that game.
And this was a classic trap game for Pittsburgh. They're playing 3 games in 12 days. They're coming off a rival game on a Wednesday against the Ravens. They have the Bills on Sunday night next week. This is the one game that you said at the beginning of the podcast didn't matter because it's against an NFC team. So if there was going to be a letdown for Pittsburgh, it felt like it was going to be this game.
And football team had 10 days off.
That's why I picked them to win.
And that's not to take anything away from Washington because it was a great win. You beat an 11-0 team. That is a feat. But I do think this was a letdown game for Pittsburgh.
By the way, the Giants have Arizona, Cleveland, Baltimore, and Dallas remaining. I'm feeling good about this Washington situation.
Yeah, the Steelers sort of screwed me because I was all over the Giants. I needed them to beat the football
funny.
Team.
Really quickly, I'm going to look at this and then we'll hit the break. Debo is going to be very impressed that this podcast.
Before you hit this part, let me ask Breach because you hinted at it. We didn't get back to it. Breach, what are the chances the Browns win the division?
the chances the Browns win the division. They're 9-3 and the Steelers are 11-1.
Yeah.
The
Browns
I was going to look at William Hill to bring up the NFC East odds. The Giants went from -225 or thereabouts, or -250 to -150. Washington's +155. Eagles 15-1. Cowboys 20-1. I think if I'm betting on this, I'm taking the Washington football team.
I'm taking the Giants, and Preacher's taking the Cowboys. Plus money. Taking the Eagles.
I will say that it's completely plausible that the Week 17 game between the Steelers and the Browns, that the division is on the line.
Wait, they don't even have the odds for the AFC North on here.
Probably because it's unpredictable after the Steelers lost to Washington. I looked on
my site, the Steelers were like -10,000, and the Browns were like 30-1. And I thought about dabbling. I did do it. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's a little closer to the realm of possibility than I think is being.
You know, I don't think it is, because now that I'm looking at it, I'll just look at the tiebreakers. The Browns are 2-2 in the division. The Steelers are 4-0. So the Steelers are going to beat the Bengals. That's going to get them to 12 wins. And then you're the Browns. You win your next three, you get to 12 wins. And then week 17, it's on the line. So that means the Steelers can't win any of their other two.
So you're saying the Steelers have to go 1-2.
With a game against the Bengals, I think is an obvious win. So they have to lose to the Bills and Colts for that game to even have a chance. I mean, it's possible. It's absolutely possible.
That's not that crazy.
It's not that crazy at all. I just don't think Pittsburgh's going to lose to both of them. I think they lose one of those games. I just don't think they'll lose both. And who knows? Ryan Finley on Monday night, Brenton, against Pittsburgh. You never know what happened.
Is it a Monday night game?
Well,
yeah, it is a Monday night game. Oh, yes, man. Everyone's going to quit instead of, that's the Monday before Christmas.
Could
air it with no announcers.
Could the Bills upset the Steelers?
It's not an upset. What are you talking about? They're favorite.
Let me get to the break. We'll talk about it after the break. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So it's conveniently that the Bills and Steelers are playing this coming week, right? Yes. And it's a great matchup.
Convenient for the Bills.
Yeah. Steelers once again getting screwed by the schedule. 4 games in 8 days.
11-1.
I know.
I mean, I saw Peter King write about this on Monday. Eric Ebron's like, we had to play 3 games in 12 days. This is outrageous. A crime against humanity. It shall not stand. Eric Ebron had already played 3 games in 12 games 6 times in his career. This is like the 7th time.
You know what is funny is, well, a couple people were pointing that out. And the difference is that usually when you're playing 3 games in 12 days, you have that Thursday game in there. you go Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, where you have that planned shortened bye week, which the Steelers did not get because of the way it was shuffled around. They didn't get the extra bye. They didn't even get their original bye, and they didn't get this mini bye. And so they, you know, you get a few days off during your three games in 12 days, and the Steelers didn't get that. And that's a huge difference, especially this late in the season when there's a lot of wear and tear on these guys.
The Steelers have gotten horrifically hosed by the scheduling based on mistakes and issues with other football teams.
I will say this. Eric Ebron's hands had more than 12 days off because those MFers haven't done any work, number one. And number two, the last 2 weeks, he's played like a Detroit Lion trying to get Matt Patricia fired. So he needs to get his act together because I've seen enough out of Eric Ebron.
Yeah, I mean, like maybe don't – I mean, yeah, exactly. Like maybe, you know, play better and win the game and go to 12-0, and then you don't have to worry about the three games in 12 days. But
your hands are well rested.
That's right. So the Bills took care of business against the 49ers. Man, I was wrong about that one. 34-24. And this is the Josh Allen that we saw early on in the season. 32 of 40.
Somebody MVP on this podcast was not wrong about this game. I won't mention any names.
Obviously. I was a sharp on 49ers this season too. I was 5-0 coming to this game.
Congratulations.
Ryan, should have listened to me.
Well, you know, what was weird about the game too is like, I remember, like, I saw Jonathan Jones, our pal, tweet out. He says, the Bills at 8-3 are an underdog to the 49ers in a home game for the San Francisco. That's not even at their home stadium. What am I missing here? And I was like, oh yeah, this is an obvious NFL spot. And then it just wasn't.
And also Jonathan picks games straight up. He doesn't really pay attention to the point spread. So when somebody like that says something like that, it makes you rethink about, hey, what is going on here?
No, my immediate reaction was like, yes, the entire betting public is going to be on the Bills. Like the 49ers are going to roll in this game. And I do think San Francisco could have won the game, but the reality is that Josh Allen just took over and played some of the best football of his career.
That was MVP Josh Allen.
It really was. It was Josh Allen for the first 4 weeks. 32 of 40, 375 yards, four touchdowns. Brian Daboll called an awesome game. Stephon Diggs destroyed the 49ers cornerbacks.
You think he's happy?
Yeah, no kidding. When they were in zone, they would have Diggs run a curl route. When they played man, Diggs would just work some sort of funky move, like get everybody off of him. And then Cole Beasley's doing, you know, he's either like working the zone or he's cutting a guy up in man. I mean, they were wide open the whole time. The Bills receivers looked like what you expect to see from a Kyle Shanahan offense.
There was no John Brown. John Brown's out.
Yeah. But you know, like when you watch the 49ers when they're at maximum strength play, like last year, or the Falcons with Matt Ryan, you see the quarterback, because you're watching on TV, and you see the quarterback drop back, and he throws, you're like, oh, maybe this throw will be into coverage. And there's no one around him. And that's what it was like for the Bills tonight. It was crazy. Yeah. You just don't see that with Buffalo that often.
Yeah, and other thing you don't see very often is Josh Allen not turn the ball over, and I thought that was just as important as him. He almost lost that fumble, but, you know, right. It wasn't just the, you know, how good he was. It was that those things that we're talking about with the first 5 weeks of the season, when he was MVP form, every knock that you have on him, that he's not accurate, that, you know, he doesn't know when to sit back and throw versus take off and run. It seems like he finally figured this out. I mean, he completed 80% of his passes against a decent 49ers defense. They're not complete trash here. And he made them look like the Jets defense. I mean, this was just, he absolutely embarrassed the 49ers. They couldn't do anything to stop him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. And that's the real issue. We talked about the Steelers defense injuries and miscues in the second half. If you're doing that against Alex Smith, who's captain checkdown, Josh Allen's got something for you. And that's going to be a long night because it's a Sunday night game if they don't get something sorted out quickly.
Now,
because also, let me say quickly, by the way, we used to dunk on the Bills defense sucking the first half of the season.
They're starting to come together.
They're coming together. So, this team is looking, they're peaking at the right time, as we like to say.
I think the biggest difference here, and this is sort of cliche, but the 49ers got no pressure on Allen early on. The Bills offensive line put on a clinic, in terms of pass protection for Josh Allen, gave him tons of time. And when you give Josh Allen time and he isn't feeling panicked and he isn't feeling like he has to run, and he didn't run at all. Thanks, RJ, for losing me money. 6 carries, 11 yards. Could call him that prop, RJ. Don't worry. Devin Singletary had the under there too. Zach Moss fumbled a ball in his own end zone and immediately got benched. So Singletary got all the carries. Anyway, I digress. when the Bills are protecting Josh Allen and Brian Daboll has a good plan against a specific style of defense. And like, I'm telling you, it was crazy. He was calling plays that were going to chew up a zone coverage. And then Robert Saleh would switch to man coverage. And as soon as he would switch, Daboll had a play call for that was designed to eat up man coverage. And Josh Allen was orchestrating the offense. It was a fantastic performance. And if they protect like that against the Steelers, they are going to carve up Pittsburgh.
Wait, say that part again. I was reading something.
If they protect the way they protected tonight.
Yes. Yes.
They will carve up Pittsburgh because the way
they would carve up any team. They would carve up the Rams, any team.
I was going to say, if they play like the way they play tonight with the protection and just Josh Allen being absolutely on fire, they could win the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
That is how good they looked in this game. It was insane watching them. It was like the first 5 weeks of the season, you saw them slowly kind of putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. And we kept saying, but their defense. And finally, I mean, yes, it was Nick Mullins. But you absolutely have to give the Bills some credit. And this looked like a team that could maybe win the Super Bowl. I think there's maybe five teams that we would maybe agree, maybe with a wild card in there.
I'll take 14. I think 14 teams can win the Super Bowl.
But so, I think the Bills are on that list.
So here's the thing. Yeah. And Breach, you mentioned this in Slack. We got this tweet from Owen Park. And he makes a good point. The Bills are 9-3. They should be 10-2 if you take away that stupid Hail Mary in the Cardinals game. Can we take 1 week and try not to talk the Bills out of the playoffs and winning the division? 1 week, maybe. It's getting old. And to his, in his defense, Football Outsiders just updated their playoff odds. The Bills have a 88% chance to win the division.
Yeah.
And so,
tonight
was a cherry on top.
Well, the Patriots thing from Sunday night was they needed the 49ers to beat the Bills tonight.
Less than 1% chance now for the Patriots to win the division.
Yes, the Patriots are probably toast now. That's why you.
And by the way, before we move on, Steelers are 97% chance to win the division. So you got dunked on.
Okay, I can't wait until that 3%.
I know that's going
to
blow.
The Cowboys will be 3-3 after they win tonight, and they have a path to 9 wins.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. Before we move on, the Giants 49% to win the division against 45% for Washington. Dallas. Breach 2.7%.
So you're saying there's a chance.
We might need to saying there's a chance.
The Cowboys are behind the Eagles to win the division.
I thought like this was just, I don't even think this is a case like the 49ers played that badly.
They have Nick Mullen and he's,
I mean, they're just down a ton of guys.
They're down to the
This is like if you went out and ran a 40-yard dash against Usain Bolt and he runs a 4.1 and you run a 4.9, your fastest time, like it didn't matter. You weren't winning. The other team, the other people were just so good. There's nothing you could have done better.
We're going to let you slide on Usain.
4.1?
Usain.
Oh, it's I thought even the 4.1.
Usain.
He said things worse than that. But to Owen Park's point, this is the first time in God knows how long where the Bills have been comfortably ahead. For weeks.
Well, usually 90, at this point. 95. They did it on, the Home Alone thing on the Monday night thing.
Usually at this point in the proceedings, they're trying to do the math to figure out how they can backdoor the way into the playoffs. They've been in the driver's seat the entire time. They've earned it. And this game, this was not a Steelers hang on for dear life and win a game by 2 points against a terrible team. This was a good football team in San Francisco that has, as you point out, injuries, but are still playing at a high level. They had to travel to Arizona to play them. The 49ers did too, but they blew the doors off, and Josh Allen played his best game of the year. Is that the best game of his career?
I maybe would say it was the best half of his career. The first half was, maybe Dallas last year on Thanksgiving. That was a really good game.
He did tie his career high with touchdown passes, and it was the second highest completion percentage of his career. And I think the third highest yardage total.
After he threw that touchdown pass to Dawson Knox to make it 14-7, as someone who had the 49ers at -1, I felt very, very bad. Like it felt like this is over. Cause San Francisco is not built to come back like that. They need to be front running and Kyle Shanahan needs to be cooking with his offensive schemes and they couldn't get the run game going. That's the impressive part. Cause this Bills team heretofore, you're able to run all over them. Now Ed Oliver's stepping up. The defensive line is playing well. Tre'Davious White made a crazy pick. If they play like this on defense moving forward, they are absolutely a problem. Now, I don't think Like, I think their odds are like 20 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. That's probably not good enough.
For what?
I mean, they got to get past some teams. I mean, there's some.
Oh, but as Breach just pointed out, if they play like this every week offensively.
I'm not questioning at all. I had my buddy Newman texted me. He was like, hey, can the Bills, like, make it to the AFC Championship game? I was like, the Bills can win the Super Bowl like this. Like,
and by the way, this offense, clearly outplaying the Steelers offense. They're outplaying the Chiefs offense. Because we've been talking for weeks about. What do you mean? The last month, the Chiefs haven't done anything offensively.
What?
They went 7 straight trips in the red zone without a touchdown. That's worse than the Jets.
Fired up.
Patrick Mahomes averaged like 490 passing yards during November. I'm not dunking on myself. What are you talking about?
But it's December, and he's not getting in the end zone when they're in the red zone.
Okay, you can question Patrick Mahomes all you want. You'll take the Bills' offense over the Chiefs' offense.
If the Bills' offense plays like this, they are much more explosive right now than what we've seen from the Chiefs the last 4 weeks.
What are you talking about?
How many points did the Chiefs win by the last 5 weeks?
What is happening? Wait. All right, hold on.
Yeah, look it up. Yeah, I think you're on planet Mars right now. You're watching the Mars Chiefs play. You're not watching the Kansas City Chiefs play.
I'm sorry. You want me to ask you? Wait, so the Chiefs the last how many weeks?
Last 5 games. So what's their margin of victory?
They won. All right, I'm going to give you the last 6 games or 5 games.
Since the Panthers game.
They won the game by three games. It's not three
games.
Good Lord.
2, 4, 3, 6.
Thank you. I mean, it's not that hard.
They beat the Panthers by two. They beat the Raiders by 4, the Bucks by 3, and the Broncos by 6.
That's exactly. Yes, exactly. How many points did the Bills win by tonight?
They played one game in December.
All I said was if the Bills offense plays like
what are you acting like they won by 45?
All I said was if the Bills offense plays like this and they have outplayed the Steelers offense and they outplayed the Chiefs offense over the last month. That's all I said. And you acted like I said the Chiefs are the worst team in the NFL. And you dunked on yourself like 12 times in less than a minute.
Okay, over the last month the Chiefs have scored since the beginning of November, 35,
since
33.
Since the Panthers game.
No, that's not, I'm taking since the beginning of November. 35, 33, 35, 27, and 22. I know you think the Bills scored 400 points. They scored 34.
34 is pretty good against a pretty good 49ers.
Okay, but that's just like, it's just about the same. Anyway, no one is taking the Bills offense over the Chiefs offense.
You got dunked on.
Are you taking the Bills offense over the Chiefs offense?
Right now, yes. I just told you that.
Oh my God. Clip and save. Oh, it's on my computer. So let me get it straight, just to be clear again. You are taking the Bills offense over the Chiefs offense.
Based on what I saw in week 13, based on what the Steelers have done, and based on what the Chiefs have done over the last month, the Bills have played better offensively. I don't know why that's such an outrageous thing to say.
Okay.
I mean, outrageous is Trent Williams is comeback player of the year or Garrett Bradbury's rookie of the year. Not outrageous is that Josh Allen is playing some of his best football. That offense demolished a really good 49ers defense.
I said Josh Allen's playing great football.
What's controversial?
The Bills have scored 159 points since November 1st. The Chiefs have scored 152.
Fired up.
Oh! They played much worse defenses anyway.
Oh, my God. They beat the Panthers by 2 points. Two.
So?
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, they sometimes play the level of their competition in Brinson's defense, but they always are in control of the game. You never feel like they're going to lose, unlike the Steelers, where it's just total chaos, and they could lose any game.
The Bills scored 18 against the Jets less than 6 weeks ago. 18 against the Jets.
6 weeks ago.
I mean, okay.
4 weeks ago, the Panthers.
Yeah, but you said since November 1st, and now you're going back to October, Brinson.
You want to go back to 1978? What happened then? When OJ was there.
October 13th, the Bills lost to the Titans 42-16.
And then the week after that, they actually lost to, the Chiefs.
Whoa! Oh! What a big jam!
Are the 49ers, are they done? Can we write them off? Do we have to keep paying attention to them?
No.
They're not done, but they are in deep doo-doo.
No, they're done.
Are they done?
They are done.
Ryan's giving up on him. He's like, I don't want to talk about the 49ers. We're writing them off. They're playing in Arizona. They don't even have a home anymore.
Wait, but they're 5-7, right?
12% chance of making the playoffs.
So 5-7 with 2 games against NFC East teams and a game against Arizona.
And a 6-6 Vikings team as the 7th seed. They're not done. They're 1 game out.
Do you love the Vikings or not? Make up your mind.
I do like the Vikings, but they're 6-6 and They're not guaranteed to win. Nobody's guaranteed to win. They're going to play the Buccaneers this week.
I'm not crazy about the Buccaneers. Let's say the Vikings. The Vikings, 28% chance to make the playoffs, which is double of what the 49ers are.
Okay, so this week, the Cardinals play the Giants. The Vikings play the Buccaneers. The 49ers play the Washington football team. And then who's the other team I'm supposed to care about? Oh, that's right. The Bears play the Texans.
Oh, goodbye.
Well, the Bears are losing because they haven't won in like 2 years.
The 49ers aren't done. The Bears are legit done.
You know, Even though the Bears have a better chance, you know who's lingering?
Oh, God.
Your Detroit Lions.
Yep.
Hey, they're ahead of the 49ers in the playoff seedings.
They get the Packers this weekend at home. They're probably not winning that game. But so let's say the Packers beat the Lions. They're favored to do that. Do the Cardinals beat the Giants? I don't think they do. I will be picking the Giants this week for sure.
Nope.
God, I hate when we're all on the same page.
Yeah. Kyler's not running the ball at all.
Exactly. That shoulder's a concern.
And okay, so let's say those two outcomes happen. And the Buccaneers beat the Vikings. That's not crazy.
No.
Right? Then all of a sudden the Vikings are 6-7. The Cardinals are 6-7.
The Cardinals are 6-7.
We'll give the Bears a win. They're 6-7.
Who are the Bears beating?
The Texans. Just don't worry about it. Okay. And if the 49ers beat the Washington football team, they're 6-7 too. And you just have this log jam of teams.
Yeah.
At 6-7. Minnesota, Arizona, Chicago. Heck, if Detroit beat Green Bay, they can be log jammed there too.
That goes back to your original point that the only good teams in this division are Saints and Packers.
Yeah, that's the right.
Conference, sorry.
But my point being is that I don't think we can count San Francisco out quite yet.
No, that's fine. I was just sort of saying that because they lost this game and the quarterback situation is problematic.
It's not a good thing. So they have Washington, Dallas, Arizona, and Seattle.
What is that? Good or bad? I
mean, they can win three of those games.
Yeah, but Dallas is.
And you think 8-8 is getting in the playoffs?
No,
as a wild card.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I'm certain.
I think you got to win all four of those.
That's a negative. Yeah, 8-8 is not going to get you into the playoffs.
I mean, Minnesota's in right now at 6-6. They have Tampa Bay, Chicago, New Orleans, and Detroit. How many are they winning?
They're winning out.
Well, if they have to play Detroit, that means if Detroit wins that, it could be maybe 8 wins. We'll get the NFC wild card.
Well, that's a plot twist. Didn't see that coming. I think Minnesota's probably going 2-2. I mean, they almost lost to the effing Jaguars in overtime.
And they lost to the Cowboys. So yeah, maybe.
They beat the Panthers they lost to the Cowboys, beat the Panthers by 1 point, and beat the Jaguars by 3 in overtime. Right. Like, let's not assume this team is going to win three
all
games.
At home.
Yeah. Let's not assume this team is going to win 3 of their next 4 games.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at the Cardinals who, if you would have given me this schedule like 3 weeks ago, that our last 4 games are against the Giants, Eagles, 49ers, and Rams, I would have been like probably 3-1. But now, I don't know. I mean, they could go 0-4 in those games. Well, I'd beat the Eagles. They'll go 1-3.
I mean, I don't think you definitely beat the Eagles with that defensive line.
Yeah, you beat the Eagles.
All right, let's say the Cardinals.
8-8, yeah, but eight wins is actually.
9-7 is a locking you into the playoffs.
Right. No, that's right. I overshot there.
All right. We almost made it to the time frame that Debo gave us, but we didn't. That's okay.
All right. I'll say this, my parting shot. I hope the Lions make the playoffs.
Be awesome.
Oh, is it because Matt Patricia didn't text Daryl Bevel?
That was such a dick move. What is he doing?
You Detroit win a game as an interim Bay, coach. You don't even send a congratulatory text.
Maybe call them on the landline.
Green Bay, Tennessee, Tampa Bay, Minnesota. They're probably going to go 0-4. I mean, like, they should have lost to Chicago. It'd be awesome if they made it.
And they should have beaten Chicago in week 1, so they kind of traded off those wins, if you think about it. And they were beating the Packers 14-3 in week 2, so it's not crazy to think that they could at least compete. And they're, I think, 7-1 against the Packers against the spread in their past 8 games against Green Bay.
In case you're wondering who Breach is going to pick this week against the spread.
Against the spread, not straight up.
That's right. All right, that's the show. Be back. Oh, my goodness. See you guys in like 8 hours for a Tuesday night football preview. No, not y'all. I'm saying see the listeners in 8 hours for a Tuesday night football preview. Then John Breach, myself, and Dubin.
The Andy Dalton special with Jared Dubin. If you don't want to hear about Andy Dalton, don't listen. I'm going to talk up Andy Dalton storm.
Do you know how many podcast episodes we have this week?
About Andy Dalton? Or just like
11.
Overall?
Literally 11 this week.
Because I could do 11 about Andy Dalton if you'd like. No. And we could do 22 overall.
All right, we're out of here. See you guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.